feeling sorry, feeling regretful. There may be a little bit of emotional elements related to that, but primarily repentance means I change my mind and it changes my actions. And so there is this repentance towards the sin I have committed. I'm changing my mind. I'm not going to hold on to this sin. Or changing your mind about a lie you've come to believe that I'm not worthy, that I'm an awful person, I'll never amount to much. That is the voice of the enemy, and you come into repentance. You said, that's wrong. That's not what God says. It's what the enemy says, and I've been in agreement with it. I repent. I change my mind. So there's those elements of repentance. I want to show you how the devil gets a stronghold in your life and how, for some of you today, this is going to really hit home and give you an insight in how you can now walk in freedom. The devil gets a hold in your life through what we just, in simple term, is an open door. Okay? Say open door. Okay, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 when Cain is very jealous of Abel because God is blessing Abel incredibly. And it says, God speaking to Cain, he said, sin is crouching at the, do y'all know what the next word is? Crouching at the door and wants to master you. It wants to get in. It wants to control. Okay? And we know in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus stands at the, what, of the church of Laodicea. He's standing at the door of the Laodicean church, knocking, said, I'll come in if you'll let me in. So there is a doorway into our life. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 says this. It says, don't give in to anger, because when you do, it gives the devil a foothold. When you give in to anger, it gives the devil a foothold in your life. The word foothold there means geography. You give the devil a geographic space in your life. It's like, okay, you can set up camp right here because I've got an issue with anger. And let's use a sin in our lives. Let me just, in the first service, I talked about greed. Let me just talk about selfishness, okay? That's an issue that I've dealt with, okay? Being selfish. Just, you know, making sure everything happens right for me. No, I'm not considering Stephanie too much. I won't consider the kids too much. They can get their way, but when it comes to if something really important to me, I'm going to make sure I get my way. I'm just going to make so selfishness. So that's a sin, okay? I'm not serving her. I'm trying to get my needs met. So this has been an issue in my life. And I say, okay, so I've opened the door to selfishness. I've opened the door. And what happens is at some point, when I open that door to selfishness, I choose to be selfish, it opens the door for demonic influence and hardening of that area in my life. It's not just a sin, but now it becomes kind of a hardened sin. It becomes what the Bible calls a stronghold in my life. A hold that the enemy, again, I chose it, I did it, but the enemy has come in and hardened the thing, made it a real hold in my life so that it becomes very challenging to get out. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to, let me see where it is, 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let me give you an example of how this happened in both the Old Testament and New Testament. First example is 1 Samuel chapter 18. And look, I know what time it is. I want to tell you something. I got a really, really important message. And I'm not just saying that because the preacher needs to preach. I'm telling you, this is like a really heavy message. And you need, so if you need to leave, God bless you. No shame at that. I understand you got commitments and stuff. But this is important that you get this. It's going to help you. It's going to help other people in getting out of strongholds in your life. And so this is right after David has defeated Goliath. You know the story of David and Goliath, right? Yeah, everybody knows the story. Beats Goliath. Well, what happens after that? Well, what happens is all of a sudden everybody likes David. And it says in verse 5 of chapter 18, so Saul made David a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers. So Saul thought, hey, I made a good decision here. Everybody's happy. Well, they were happy until they came back from a war and all the ladies were making this chant, singing this little ditty. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. That's right there, verse 7. That's exactly how it was sung too, okay? No, they sang a song. I'm telling you, Saul did not like that. He did not like it. And look what happened. And he says, what is this? They credit him with 10,000. Next, they'll make him their king. Verse 9, so from that time on, Saul kept a what? What does it say in your translations? Say jealous.
Jealous.
He's jealous. So what? Take out this. Take out that right there. Add jealous. All right? We've got jealous here. And then notice what happens. Verse 10. Read that. Whatever translation you have, just read it right there to yourself. What happened? The next day, what happens? Boom. Boom. It says from the Lord. It's really, you know, as we know, Old Testament progressive revelation, that actually his sin opened it up, and so the demonic could come in and begin to oppress him. The demonic has a legal right. They say, look, he's opened himself up. You can't keep him closed. And it's because of that opening, they got in, and man, I'm telling you what, you thought he had a problem with jealousy just then? When this demon came in, it got way out of hand. He tried to kill David on several occasions. He tried to kill his son. He tried to track David down 16 to 18 years. He was tracking him down to kill him. All of this was hardened. It was a demonic, it happened through jealousy. It was hardened through this demonic stronghold in his life. And friend, I want to tell you something. That's true of everybody in this room. Everybody. Me too. When we give into a sin or believe a lie, it gets energized by the enemy, and then it becomes a stronghold in our life that has to be broken. Now, here's how it's broken. It's real simple. It's incredibly simple to break this thing. You repent. You say, man, I've been jealous. I've been selfish. This is wrong. Stephanie, will you forgive me for being selfish? I'm so sorry. Saul goes to David on two occasions when he gets this revelation, says, David, I'm wrong, will you forgive me? But he didn't stay in repentance. Thing came back on him. So you seek forgiveness and you realize this is what's been hurting. As a person, I'm telling you a story. I mean, I realized my selfishness was hurting my relationship with my wife. I don't want this anymore. Will you forgive me? I repent. I change my mind. And when that happens, all of a sudden it breaks then this demonic path. See, the demonic, the darkness cannot hold on to nothing. And it can only get a foothold, like the area of anger. It can only get a foothold when there's anger. But when it's been confessed or repented of, they have nothing to stay in. They have to go. You got to leave. And we're going to do this at the end of the service. So what are the open doors? Let me tell you this book, if you want to go further, it's called Unbound. Now, April Jones does a series with women by the same title, but this is a different book. It's by Neil Lozano. If you want to go further with this, help other people out, get that book, Unbound by Neil Lozano. Skip that. So here we go. What are the open doors? Here they are. Read them with me. Personal sin. Unforgiveness. Trauma and objects. Soul time. So the one that we are going to spend time with this morning is just this, is unforgiveness, because it is the biggest one of them all. Living in unforgiveness. So I'm just going to put this right here in the center, this unforgiveness. How do we break out of this unforgiveness? Now go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Forgiveness is essential. It's the nature of God to forgive. Satan resists it because it's the opposite of his nature. He is unforgiven, and he pushes that on us. Be unforgiving. Here's the other thing about Satan. Satan can never be forgiven. And he wants to make you think it's the same for you. Here's what some of you say, I know God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself. That is a word from the devil. Because that's the reality he lives in. He knows he can't be forgiven. So he only gives what he has, right? He gives what he has. I'm unforgiven. I'm going to make sure you don't forgive people. I can't feel forgiven. I want you to feel like you can never be forgiven. You can't forgive yourself. You're always going to live in regret. You'll always look back at that time in your life when you were away from God, not doing what you ought to have done, and live in shame of that, and live in regret. That's where I want you to live. And you say, okay, I agree with that. And that's where some of you are. And some of you have friends that are there. I'm telling you, we're going to get to that in a minute. Okay, Matthew chapter 6. Y'all know the Lord's Prayer. All right. Again, the reason why it's so hard to forgive is because he does not, it's the opposite of who he is. And it's not natural. But as we will see, forgiveness is one of the most powerful weapons we have to overcome darkness. Look at the Lord's Prayer, verse 12. Read it with me, whatever translation you have, I don't care. Matthew 6, 12. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Let's continue that. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now skip on down to verse 14. Read with me. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive. Okay, now this next one, read with fear and trembling. All right, verse 15. But if you refuse others, if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. You say, but I'm a Christian. You mean God won't forgive me? I don't know what to do with that, but that's what it says. I guarantee you this, you will not feel like you're forgiven if you don't forgive others. Here's my experience. I've talked to Christians over the years who talk to me and they say, Pastor, I just feel empty. I just feel barren. I just feel like, man, me and God, we just got this distant relationship. Or I always feel like I'm always filling up my time with other things rather than God. It's just like, it's never a priority. I don't understand what's going on. Well, you know, there could be many things that could be going on. But I'll tell you, a big thing that often goes on with people who say, I feel barren, I feel empty. Maybe I need to go to another church. Maybe I need to get another Bible study. Maybe, I don't know what it is. Maybe I need to start serving God more fervently. That's what I need to do. I'm going to tell you, for me, what I've seen is the biggest deal is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And they think, if I could just get a little bit more, you know, great worship music, if I could get better preaching, if people were nicer to me, if I could get more involved, if I could do that. No, it won't. You will feel like you are unforgiven. You will feel barren. And going to another church and doing something else will not satisfy it, because there's barrenness of the soul. It leaves you lifeless. Here's the thing that you notice in this passage in Matthew chapter 6 is that he says, and forgive us of our sins, and then what do we do? What does it say? And then we, and I forgive others who have sinned against me. Forgiveness flows to us, and then it flows from us. Unforgiveness is a poison that we drink that we think will kill the other person. I'll just hold it against them. They'll just feel my wrath. They'll just know that I don't like them. Yeah, you go ahead and drink that poison, buddy. Go ahead. It'll make you sick, not them. Forgiveness is not natural. It is natural to hold a grudge. It's natural to get mad. It's natural to be angry with someone, to have bitterness. That's natural. It is not natural to forgive. That's why we need the supernatural work of the Lord within our life. God called us to release and bless, is what he called us to do. Release and bless. It's the catch and release program. It's the catch and release heavenly program, okay? Fishermen, y'all know that? You catch it, release it. It's the same way with forgiveness. I forgive, I bless. How do you know you haven't forgiven? Look, there's a bunch of ways. There's six of them or whatever the number is. You can read those. Here's the big one right here. Read, what's that last one say? Y'all know what this is? What does a lint roller pick up? It's just everything, right? It just picks up everything. You think, my carpet's really clean. I just vacuumed it. And then you do that, and it's like, oh my word, where did that come from? I thought, you know, it's just all this hair and junk and dander, and it's like, I wouldn't even wish I hadn't have done it, you know, because you see how bad it is. I'm telling you, people who are who will not forgive, they're sticky. They just pick up stuff all the time. Pick up stuff. Somebody said something. They looked at me a certain way. They didn't comment on my Facebook post. They didn't invite me to their LinkedIn group or whatever. Why haven't they responded to me? People who have a spirit of unforgiveness about them, they are hypersensitive, and it is very, very hard for them to let go of things. To that group that hurt them or to an individual that said something wrong, man, it is incredibly hard. They just hold it. They're just sticky. Here's what happens. After you use a lint roller for a period of time, what happens to the lint roller? It doesn't pick up anything, right? And that's exactly the way you become in your relationship with God. You don't pick up anything. Nothing. You try. Where's God? I'm telling you, you're filled up with lint, okay? Unforgiveness. Sticky. I'm going to tell you, when I'm walking in grace, when I'm walking in forgiveness, those same words, those same actions, those same nuances, here's what happens. That person says something to me, it bounces off of me. It may sting. It's like getting hit with a dodgeball, you know? We were playing a game at man camp. We had a great time at man camp. I got whacked in the head with a basketball. Man, I mean, just, I was walking and they were playing basketball and I thought I was out of the way. It hit me on the head and I was like, oh, man, just, you know, it hurt. But I didn't stay hurt. You know, eventually you get over it. And that's the way it is when you're walking in forgiveness and love and in grace towards people. It may hurt, there may be the ping, but then you're able to let it go and not hold on to it. King Saul is a perfect example of a sticky person. He was not going to forgive David. He wasn't going to forgive Jonathan. He wasn't going to forgive anybody who stood with David. How dare you stand with him? I'm the man of God around here. Sticky. And it was obvious. He was being tormented by a demon. This whole section that you read there in 1 Samuel, verses chapters 18 through 20, is a perfect picture of what happens when you open up the door. Now turn to a New Testament example, to Matthew chapter 18. Turn to Matthew 18. So you have the Old Testament example of Saul, and then the New Testament story in Matthew 18. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant. And so Jesus, Peter asked him, how many often should we forgive someone who sins against us? And seven times. And is that it? Jesus replied, nope, not, you missed it. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. And then he tells this great story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date and servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. It was actually, in our day, $250 million. Can you say, wow? Does anybody in this room owe $250 million? God bless you if you do. I mean, some of you may owe a lot of money. God bless. $250 million. Woo! All right, here we go. He couldn't pay his master. So his master ordered him. He ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owed to pay back the debt. Verse 26. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please, 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 be patient with me. I promise I'll pay it all off. The master was filled with pity, with mercy, and he released him. Okay, say released.
Released.
And forgave his debt. Say forgave.
Forgave.
Ooh, okay. But then the man left the king. He went to a fellow servant who owed him $1,000, a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Give me my money back. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged a little more time. Please, please, please be patient with me. I promise I'll pay it back. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put him in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Can anybody say shame on him?
Shame on him.
Oh, man, this is awful. And when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And then the king called in the man he had forgiven, and he said to him, what do your translations say? This is verse 32. What do they say? You what? You evil servant, you wicked servant. I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. He was tortured. He was tortured. He was tormented. He was tormented until he paid his debt. And then read the most frightful verse, one of the most frightful verses in the entire Bible. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you. And he was speaking to his disciples. If you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart, you don't forgive, you get tormented. You hold on to unforgiveness, you open the door to be tormented. The same thing will happen to you until you pay it back. On this whole forgiveness thing, Jesus is saying a couple of things. He's saying, just continue to forgive that person until there's rest. Sometimes it takes 100 times before there's final rest. Other thing is, you forgive regardless of how much they hurt you. Here's what forgiveness is. I've already kind of hinted at that. I want you to note in this story that forgiveness came from the king first, and then it was to flow out of that guy. You know why he called him wicked? Why did he call this servant wicked? You wicked servant. Here's why. Look at me. Hey, look. It's obvious one reason, because he should have forgiven, right? You all right? But here's the bigger reason. He should have been changed by that forgiveness. He had been forgiven $250 million. He should have automatically been a forgiving person. And God is saying to all of us, you have been forgiven a debt of sin, therefore you have that same heart towards everybody. Have that heart of grace. You see, there was no repentance. He had not changed his mind. He was still that same old guy. You pay me back. I'm under the law. The law says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You owe me $1,000. You give it to me. He had not repented. His mind was still the same. And because of that, he was living in this place of unforgiveness. And he opened himself up. He said, look, you do that. You don't forgive. You've just opened the door to the demonic to build a stronghold in your life, to torment you until you pay back. You see, God loves you so much. He says, look, I don't want this to happen. I would rather you respond to my grace and my good discipline. But if you will not respond to my grace and my good discipline, you're getting outside of my cover, and there is going to be a demonic oppression that's going to come on your life until you say, enough, enough. I'm tired of this life. What happens when you're in prison? Look, here's what happens. Back then, you were isolated, you were beaten. And that's the way some of you feel. I just feel isolated from God. We just don't have this close connection anymore. I just don't know what's going on. Why is it everything just feels so different? Why is it so hard in my life? Why does all this junk just happen? I just feel like I'm beaten down. It's like I can never get ahead. I mean, there may be other reasons, but I'm telling you, for some of you, the reason is unforgiveness. It doesn't have to be permanent, though. That's the good news. It can be repented of. I want to give you some deceptions of why some of you don't forgive. Look, I've got 15, 16 pages of notes. There's no, okay, we're not going through them all. I'm going to put them up on the website. Lee, I'll try to give them to him as soon as service is over I can. There are 10 reasons why some of you don't forgive. Let me give you 3 quick. Here they are. Number one, we fear forgiveness because, read the rest with me, we misunderstand it. We believe forgiveness will lower our defenses against continued hurt and vulnerability. And I want you to hear me. Yes, yeah, when you do forgive, you become vulnerable again. You cannot guard your heart so close that you can't become vulnerable. True forgiveness does mean becoming vulnerable again, but it does not mean submersing your human dignity to the abuse of another. I'm going to be vulnerable, I'm going to be open, but I'm not going to let you tear me up. We're going to have boundaries here. Forgiveness along with this doesn't mean forgetfulness, okay? Paul didn't forget all the people that beat him. He wrote it down, 2 Corinthians. He said, and this is what happened to me. And he has a litany of all these terrible things that happened to him. He didn't forget. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation either, because what does reconciliation mean? It means two people coming together, right? Forgiveness is one-sided. It means I just forgive you. Reconciliation means two people are trying to work it out. So forgiveness does not necessarily mean reconciliation with the person. And finally, forgiveness is an act of the will, not a feeling. So you say, well, I just got to feel like I can forgive them. Forget that. Forget it. Do what God says. I forgive you in faith. Listen, when you got saved, if you came to faith in Jesus Christ, did you feel something? Some of you did, some of you didn't. You still got saved, regardless. Amen? Because it's about faith. It's not about a feeling. So you just say it in faith. In faith, in Jesus' name, I forgive you. I'm still real mad, but I forgive you because it's the right thing to do. God, you deal with my emotions. I'm stepping out in faith. Second thing I want to add to this is some of the reason why you don't forgive is because you have a victim mentality. There's some of you have this victim mentality. A victim mentality embraces helplessness, hopelessness, powerlessness. Someone else brought this pain on me and somebody else has got to take it away. If you've ever dealt with a person who has a victim mentality, I'm telling you, it is hard to get them out of that mentality. They owe me. They owe me. You say, brother, sister, let them go. Let them go. Bless them. Forgive them. That's what the Lord did for you. He forgave all your sins. I know He forgave all my sins, but man, they really hurt me. They need to do something. And here's the thing. I've seen it where the person has done something. It wasn't enough. Because this is what's happening. They're being tormented. Final thing I want to say, and this is the most important thing. Do not leave. Do not leave. Read it with me. We cannot or will not forgive ourselves. John 8:36 says, read it with me, if the Son sets you free,
you are free indeed.
Some of you here, you cannot forgive yourselves. You think that you deserve what you got. You say to yourself, I should have known better. I don't know why I allowed that to happen. I should have known better. I got what I deserved. And you are filled with regret or self-condemnation or bitterness, self-bitterness. We don't release ourselves from the hurt we might have caused others. It creates a self-loathing. I am an awful person. I cannot believe I said that to him. I cannot believe I did that to my family. I cannot believe I treated my parents that way. I cannot, and I just feel so bad. I should have done something else. If you cannot forgive yourself, you have opened the door wide to the demonic. If you cannot forgive yourself, I'm telling you, it is like you just opened the door and said, come on in. Come on in. Remember, the devil only gives to us what he has. There is nothing he can do to remove the stain of unforgiveness from his life, and he wants you to believe the same about your sin. He can never be forgiven nor forgive himself. He lives in regret, and he wants you to believe that's the same for you. This is why you try to catch a person. I've talked to people over the years who just say, Pastor, I know God's forgiven me. I just cannot forgive myself. I just cannot forgive myself. And you try to reason with them. Well, here's what Jesus did on the cross, and you are forgiven, and you are justified, and God loves you, and you're accepted. I know all that, but I just can't forgive myself. I want to say, you talk to people like that, this is exactly what's going on with them. Because it's not a matter of logic. It is a matter of spiritual warfare that a stronghold has been established because they've come into agreement with the devil. Some of you have come into agreement with the devil. What does the Bible say? When two or three gather together, when they come into agreement, whatever they pray, whatever they believe, it will be done. Amen? That's what it says. The opposite of that's true as well. When two or three come into agreement with the devil, it will be done. And that's what some of you have done. You've come into agreement with the devil. The devil says, you're awful, you're unworthy. Look what you, I'm going to tell you what you are. You are nothing but a puppet of the devil. He's got his hand inside of you saying, you'll never be able to live that down. How could you have ever said that? Why did you do that? Why did you not let that person go or whatever? You've ruined your family. You've ruined your life. Your life will never amount to much. Your best days are all behind you. You'll never have a good relationship with your child, with your parents, with your friends. You're a lousy friend. You're a lousy parent. And some of you are saying, oh, but Pastor, if you just knew what I did. That came straight from the heart of Satan. And you have come into agreement with it. If you just knew what I did, that is Satan speaking to you, and you're saying, that's right. You have come into agreement with the devil, and I want to tell you, that needs to stop now. Amen. It needs to stop now. Amen. Let me tell you, as your brother and sister, brother in Christ, shut up. In the kindest, most compassionate, pastoral way I can say it, shut up. Because you are repeating a lie from the enemy. Quit repeating the lie. You are saying that the blood of Jesus is not powerful enough to break the hold of the enemy on you. That blood was not sufficient enough to make me forgiven. To make me have the ability to forgive myself. Oh, that's a lie. You must begin confessing what God says about you. You have to repent. You have to change your mind and start saying what God says, and don't let your feelings dictate the truth. If you say, oh, but Pastor, you just don't understand. You don't understand. My response to you is, brother, sister, no, you don't understand. You don't understand what Jesus did for you on the cross, forgave you of your sins, has forgiven you and given you the ability to forgive yourself, to live in freedom, to live in wholeness, and to live in love. Amen. You're the one who doesn't understand. Now start confessing it. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! Yeah. That's good. Y'all stand. Here we go. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Let me get Elaine or who's here? Is Debbie here? Did they already leave? Elaine or Debbie? Huh? Do I have any instrumentalists? Debbie, get on the keyboard. Start doing some anointed key playing, okay? I want y'all to be out in the atrium. And y'all bless Doug and Monica as y'all exit here in a minute. But nobody disconnect. I'm sorry, I'm kind of being a little rushed here. But they're going to be out. Y'all can bless them. Want to bless our first-time guests that are here today. My wife and I will be out there as well. We have a gift for you. But before we do that, we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to break this junk off of your life, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to break it off of your life. You say, well, I've forgiven. That's good. Okay, just play along with this, okay? It's still good exercise. What we're going to do is we're going to confess this thing right here, okay? We're going to confess this thing, and we're going to tell the enemy you got to go. You see, here's the thing. A lot of this spiritual warfare stuff, you see like the big, the demon yelling and screaming. Oh, wait, that is so stupid. You just take care of this, they got to go. It's that simple. And so I want you, if you would, just pray this after me. Again, it may not apply to you, but just it will apply to people around you. So just join with them in prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that I am forgiven by your blood. And you have given me the ability to forgive others. Today I repent. I change my mind towards those that have hurt and offended me. I forgive them in Jesus' name. Now we're going to take just a minute. There may be some specific people that you need to just articulate their name, just first name or initial or whatever. Just, and again, under your breath, don't say it too loud. They may be sitting next to you. So, but It is important that you confess this thing out, okay? That you confess it out. So let me give you a couple of seconds to do that. If the Lord brings things or people to mind, just say, Lord, forgive me. I forgive these people for, and just mention their names. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. And just now join with me. I release them. I bless them. And I now, Heavenly Father, receive your forgiveness for me. I am forgiven. Loved, accepted, and enjoyed. And I thank you. You've given me the ability to forgive myself. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I am free today. I renounce this unforgiveness. I forgive myself. And I say to every evil spirit who has set up a stronghold in my life through this unforgiveness, you have to go in Jesus' name. My sins are forgiven. Your torment has ended. I receive the Father's love. Amen. 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 You know, sometimes it takes a little while. It takes a while. And it's like the growing of a plant, right? It doesn't just all pop up at once. You may just feel a little bit, may not feel anything. That's fine. Give it time. Give it time. Continue to cultivate that soil. Continue to forgive as the Lord gives you the grace to do so. If you need prayer, let me have our prayer team. They're going to be down front. Any deacons that are available. I know in a group this size, there are people here today that need to put their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You need to come and receive the forgiveness of God that's found through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. And it starts by doing that, confessing sin, but then making Him your boss, your Lord, submitting to Him. So if you haven't done that today, don't get away from here without doing that. They're available to talk with you, to pray with you. If you're sick, if you're hurting in your heart, if you need a miracle, if you need a word from God, some of you came in, man, I need a word from God. You hadn't got it today, come down front. Let these teams pray for you. I'm going to speak this blessing over you and you'll be dismissed. Oh, Father, you are good, 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 good. We are forgiven. We are enjoyed. We are loved. Oh, Lord, that's our people. Everybody here today would walk in a new revelation of your love and your grace. Amen and amen. Don't forget Doug and Monica out there in the atrium. And now from Jude chapter, verse 24 and 25. Now, today, all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away. You, He is able to bring great joy into His glorious presence without a single fault. Amen. All glory to Him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, authority are His before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen and amen.